You've seen the clips on television, news, and movies, faces in a crowd caught on video surveillance cameras. It's a promising technology, identifying people in this way, but a controlled study conducted by researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology shows video ID systems still need a lot of work. Joining me with more on the project, NIST computer scientist Patrick Rother. Patrick, great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
This was a two-year effort, and it has an interesting name, FIVE. Tell us what you were trying to do with this project.
Right, so the FIVE acronym is Face in Video Evaluation. So NIST has run a number of tests of facial recognition technology over the years, but historically only on still images, just still photographs. This was the first time that we'd actually run video sequences. The hallmark of a video sequence is the subject is not necessarily looking at the camera, and they are being observed passively. So that's what we wanted to evaluate, and whether face recognition is capable of recognizing people in that setting.
Because I think after the Boston Marathon bombings, there were video surveillance tapes that showed the two suspects there, but those were pretty easy to see. They looked pretty clear in those videos. We're talking about something where there might be a big crowd and maybe hundreds or thousands of faces in a clip?
Exactly. And so face and video can be used in a number of different ways. The characteristic of the Boston videos was that they were from legacy cameras that just happened to be at the scene. They weren't specifically set up to do face recognition. If a system owner has an opportunity to put cameras in places that are favorable to face recognition, then it would be a different outcome than the Boston bombing was. An example of that would be a casino operator, where they have time and opportunity to put the cameras where it would be favorable to do it.
In the tests that you ran, I guess you did 36 algorithms on 16 commercial suppliers, 109 hours of video imagery. These were commercial products that you were testing?
Well, they're prototypes that come out of the research and development labs at the various developers. And I think given the diverse range of applications that this could be used in, the developers have put some software engineering and some research effort into this, and they were enthusiastic to try and find out whether it works or not.
And so does it work?
And while it can work, it doesn't work just out of the box. You can't expect to throw arbitrary video at an algorithm and have it work very well. It depends very much on the detailed placement of the camera and the configuration of the camera and the optical arrangement. So you need enough resolution on the face. You can achieve that with good lenses and good cameras. But more importantly, you need to get a clear line of sight to the face. And so you need to put the camera not on the ceiling, not at the top of a light pole, but you need to put it somewhere where it's going to image the face coming towards the camera, pretty much with a frontal view. If that's possible, and it's not always possible, then face recognition can work.
I've been to the ballpark here in Washington, and once a year or once every couple of years, they set up this super duper, I don't know, millions of pixels camera in which you can zoom in on this image of the entire ballpark filled with people and pick out a recognizable face if you zoom in far enough.
Yeah, I saw one also for the presidential inauguration this year as well, a gigapixel image.
But that's not something that can really be reasonably incorporated in video systems, though, can it?
So the quantity of data coming out of one frame of that kind of imagery would swamp sort of computers that were, you know, financially affordable. It's such a broad field of view that you would never do video surveillance that way.
We're speaking with NIST computer scientist Patrick Rother. And what would be the applications, do you think, especially in federal law enforcement, I'm thinking, for the type of system, if it could be optimized for the algorithms that you tested?
The classic application is the one that's known in the movies, and that is what's called a watch list system, a surveillance system where video is taken in a particular volume, a particular area, and the faces in that are recognized against the gallery of persons of interest. That would have application in, for example, some public safety realms. It could be used in the private sector in a casino to look for, say, compulsive gamblers. But there's a number of different settings. The other one is in after-the-fact crime investigations. So if somebody would hold up a convenience store or a bank where you may have equipped the space with good cameras, then those videos might have value in a face recognition application.
So it sounds like there is as much advice in this for people that set up these systems commercially, such as where to aim the cameras and how to configure them, as there is for the software developers trying to make the algorithms to recognize the faces.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's some science to this, which is making the algorithms better, and that's a huge field of research right now. And then there's an engineering aspect to this, where you want to think about optics, you want to think about environmental control, where people are standing, where people are moving. And then you've got a sort of an operations research aspect to this, where if you have enough faces coming through a volume and you search them against the database, then you would get some candidate matches coming back. And the frequency with which that happens, you would need some kind of labor or resolution process to look at the images and say, is it really a match? And so you need to configure the face recognition system to feed available labor for adjudication of the eventual matches.
That means it would be pretty difficult at this point to have a system that just lights up automatically. Then there's a bad guy, bing, there's a bad guy, bing. Takes some after-the-fact evaluation.
Right. So it's certainly in a public space, what you just said would be true, because the overwhelming majority of the people are not persons of interest. If you were to try it maybe in some place where you would expect persons of interest to show up, then it may be more viable and more profitable and more affordable to do it that way.
So that could be certain areas, say, of the U.S. borders, or it could be the high roller room in the poker casino.
Exactly, yes.
And now you have created a 115-page report on this. What happens now with the research? How are you promulgating it?
So the report is out there. It's been looked at by public safety people and law enforcement people, and also the civil applications of the technology. So the people who build, for example, passport gates for crossing a border have expressed interest in this, because they don't necessarily just take a single photograph when you cross a border. It could be a little video sequence. And the report has some numbers that are interesting in that application as well. But the NIST evaluation efforts have moved back to still photographs, and we are running an ongoing test to track face recognition improvements over time. And because the research is so vibrant at the moment, there is some promising developments in face recognition.
Commercial entities or government agencies that are looking at this technology will have some tools to tread carefully with vendor claims at this point.
Yeah, that's right. So the report gives a lot of numbers to a lot of different people, and it's a sort of a broad brush across the industry and the landscape of a possible application.
Any timeline that you think when, say, this will be fully baked and something available out of the box at some point?
I don't think the video application is with non-cooperating subject is going to happen anytime soon. The technology can be used, and there can be some successful matches coming out of the technology, but it's not 100% reliable. It's not 60% reliable. It all depends on the optics and the resolution and what the population is doing.
So someone who wants to evade these systems, knowing they're there, they could shave a beard off, or they could put on Groucho Marx eyebrows or something from one day to the next, and that would probably foil the systems that are there now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a primary factor in deciding whether to field the system. Putting video surveillance in a bank is to some measure superfluous, because people have been putting stockings over their heads since the 1960s. Every single movie we've ever seen of a bank robbery includes some kind of attempt to defeat face recognition.
Patrick Grother is a computer scientist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
You can find a link to more about the FIVE project and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.